I call this Wednesday, March 12, 2025, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Williams?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Hyatt?
Here.
Crouch?
Here.
Green?
Here.
Lanine?
Here.
And Vineyard?
Here. All right. Previous meeting minutes. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the February 12, 2025, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting? Are there any questions or amendments to the meeting minutes, many of the commissioners? Okay. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Lanine?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Very good. The minutes are approved. Moving on to the citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments tonight from the public regarding any topic not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Seeing that there are no comments from the public, we will move on to the next agenda item. There are two public hearings tonight for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of these hearings is to invite testimonies from members of the public regarding the proposed requests that are being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimonies from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the request or to ask question of the petitioner regarding the request being heard. Once all the public hearings on tonight's agenda are closed, the commission will deliberate and will vote on their recommendations to City Council for each of the matters that was subject of tonight's hearing. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name, who you represent. You are also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, state your name, do solemnly swear that the testimony I will provide at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. You guys can be seated. Okay, so before we begin, I'd like to review a few rules to ensure orderly and productive meeting tonight. While speaking, please make comments focused on the matter at hand. Avoid any personal attacks, unrelated topics, or repeating points that are already made tonight. As chairman, I may limit repetitive remarks or redirect the speakers to stay on topic. Any member of the public who repeatedly disrupts or interrupts any of tonight's public hearings may be asked to leave the chambers. We ask that the audience members remain silent during tonight's hearing unless they are speaking at the podium. The court reporter must record tonight's testimony, and the cooperation from the audience will make her job easier and the transcript of those hearings be more accurate. Okay? Commission members may ask clarifying questions at any time. The public may direct relevant questions to the petitioner either through me or via direct cross-examination. Likewise, the petitioner may respond to the public comments and ask clarifying questions of public speakers. Once all public comments have been heard, I will formally close a public comment period, after which the commission will deliberate and vote. Thank you guys for your cooperation and participation with us. So the order for receiving testimony will be as follows. The petitioner will have their presentation, followed by those who wish to speak in favor of the request, and then those who wish to speak in opposition of the request. So may I have a motion to open public hearing on petition number continued, PZC 2024 Beecher Road Solar LLC, requesting a special use and variance for solar farm, and PZC 2025-1 DMYF Loftus, requesting rezoning to M2 for a future data center.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Lanine?
Yes.
All right, moving on to the public hearing. The first public hearing was continued from the February 12th meeting and is PZC 2024-22 Beecher Road Solar LLC, contract leasee, and Gary and Betty Bennett, property owners, petitioners, have filed application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting a special use authorization and bulk regulation variance approval. The real property is generally located immediately north of Cornelius Road, approximately 1,500 feet west of Beecher Road, and approximately 4,000 feet east of Illinois Route 47 or North Bridge Street, consisting of approximately 70 acres. The petitioners are requesting special use permit approval in pursuant to Section 10-8-5 of the United Development Ordinance for a solar farm. Lastly, the petitioners are requesting a bulk regulation variance to Section 10-4-13-8C of the United Development Ordinance, seeking a reduction from the required 1,000-foot setback from the nearest solar array to roadway network to 482 feet from Cornelius Road. Is the petitioner present and prepared to make their presentation on the proposed request?
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Kelly Helen, on behalf of the petitioners, the Bennett family, and NextDam Solar Company. Here tonight we have Hannah Udicious from NextDam Solar, and then Matt Kusinowski, I'm sorry if I butchered your Matt's name, from NextDam, along with Michael Keith from Atwell Engineering. This is a 70-acre parcel that, although it's named the Beecher Road Solar, it's off Cornelius Road. The Bennett family would have liked to have been here tonight, but due to some health concerns, they're quarantined and unable to be here. They did submit a letter to both Plant Commission and staff that we would request be entered into the record tonight. NextDam Solar has done or applied for and have obtained approval on two prior solar farms in New Yorkville. They're a veteran-owned community company and have been very active in supporting the community of Yorkville. We're seeking a positive recommendation of the special use application along with the variance of the 1,000-foot setback to 917 feet. We've heard the concerns from staff prior plan commission meetings and then also this mayor and city council. Although Cornelius Road is not at this time, nor at the time of filing, a major collector, it is our understanding that in the very near future it will be identified as a major collector within the United City of Yorkville. For that reason, we've amended the plan to provide a setback at the minimum at 917 feet from the roadway. As you can see from the packet and if you drive down Cornelius Road, the Bennett Farmstead is directly in front of this solar farm. So from a public safety perspective, an aesthetic perspective, and a visual perspective, we think that providing the increased setback to 917 feet meets the spirit of the 1,000-foot setback. If there was a vehicular accident, they'd run into the Bennett Farmstead well before any kind of solar array or landscaping. So from a public safety perspective, we don't think that's an issue. And we believe that the application complies with the special use parameters contained in the city's ordinance and be seeking a positive recommendation to the city council and the planning commission. We're here tonight to answer any questions that the planning commission may have, and I will turn it over to Hannah prior to the presentation, and Michael, if you have any technical questions on the engineering. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hannah Udicious representing NextDam. And thank you, Planning and Zoning Commission and United City of Yorkville for having NextDam back again. We're really grateful to continue partnering with you on these projects. You can go to the next slide.
You should be able to control
it. Oh.
I'm sorry. See if that works.
Not again.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's probably not picking up the signal. That's okay.
This one?
No, that's all right. We'll advance it for
you. Okay, thank you. So I want to give a bit of a background on NextDam. I know a lot of folks in the room today are familiar, but just to reorient, who NextAmp is, and then I'll zoom into our experience in Illinois, and then I'll talk a little bit more about, get into Beecher Road Solar. So NextAmp, was founded in 2007 by two Army veterans. And upon returning from the U.S. Doing their tour, they were compelled to start a company with the vision of providing renewable energy solutions to create an energy-independent United States. We're really proud to still be fulfilling that mission today, and we are the largest vertically integrated developer, owner, and operator of community solar farms in the United States. We were voted number one community solar company in 2023, again in 2024 by Solar Power World magazine, which is our leading industry magazine. At this time, we have 475 plus employees nationwide. And congruent with our commitment to energy independence, we're still making that commitment. NextAmp completed the largest domestic module purchase in community solar history with a company called Helene. They're located in Minnesota, and we purchased 1.5 gigawatts of modules. So in the next slide, zooming into our experience in Illinois, NextAmp started to build out our Midwest team in 2018. We've grown very significantly. We created Chicago as our second headquarters, our primary. Our first headquarters was located in Boston, and so we've been investing a lot in the state of Illinois. We've hired over 80 employees. We currently have over 40 operating community solar farms in Illinois, and about 20 either in construction or in our development pipeline. And currently we're servicing 8,500 residents and small businesses with our community solar subscriptions. So in the next slide, I wanted to present a visual of an operational community solar farm that NextAmp owns, operates, and developed. This one's located in Burlington, Kane County. It's 16 acres, so this is probably about, it's less than half the size of what Beecher Road's gonna be. It's 2.8 megawatts, and it services nearly 400 subscribers. I'll let you kind of look at visually, this is very consistent with what we're planning in terms of landscaping, maybe a little bit more extensive with Beecher. But you can see that we have the pollinators inside the panels, outside the panels, and then the evergreen buffer on the outside. The next slide is another community solar farm. This one's called Fargo Road Solar. It's located in Tampico, Whiteside County. It's 19 acres, 2.7 megawatts. Also services around 400 subscribers. And you can see this project as well, very clean, well-maintained. And that's really what we pride ourselves on, is having a really good beginning to end product. So in the next slide, we're zooming into Yorkville. This is the location of Beecher Road Solar. The solar farm is proposed on existing farmland parcels located approximately north of Cornelius Road, approximately 1,500 feet east of Beecher Road, and approximately 4,000 feet west of Illinois Route 47. It's on parcels 02-08-300-008. This is the parcel to the west. Oh, one more thing on the last one. This is the parcel on the west. This is where the community solar farm will be located. On the parcel to the east, that's where we'll be utilizing that existing access road and for utility. So that's 02-08-300-012. Now next slide. Okay, so getting into the project details, the project's located on 10791 Cornelius Road. It's currently zoned A1-SU, which is Agriculture Special Use District. We just did the parcels on the last slide. So the parcel to the west ending in 08, that's for the array, and the parcel to the east ending in 012, that's for the access road and utility. The owners are Gary and Betty Bennett. The parcel size is approximately 69.6764 acres. The project size is approximately 20.4 acres within the fence line. The project capacity is 4.99 megawatts AC, and the project life is between 30 to 40 years. So You probably remember us being here prior. So this is the second project that NextAmp is proposing on the land of longtime residents Gary and Betty Bennett. And so the impetus for Beecher Road Solar really came from the relationship that we had built with the Bennetts, and that the Bennetts were interested in doing a second project as a means for their retirement. And there was capacity for the project, so this is how we move forward. Also, given the fact that the property is in an IDNR floodway, and there's not a whole lot of opportunity for different types of development, the Bennetts were really interested in pursuing this as an option for them. Corneille's Road Solar LLC was approved May 2024 for special use by the United City of Yorkville, also for annexation and rezoning to the Agriculture Special Use District for the two parcels that I just mentioned, and also the parcel to the north, which most of the Corneille site is located on. Our civil engineer will get more into the design later on in the presentation, but it is worth noting and stating that Corneille's Road Solar LLC and Beecher Road Solar LLC are two separate projects. They're standalone. They will both have their own fence line. They're not going to be connected, and the projects, but the projects will be sharing that existing gravel road, and they will have their own utility lines. So this situates Beecher Road Solar in the community and the surrounding land uses. So to the north we have Corneille's Road Solar LLC, and then also, it's not called out in here, but Yorkville Renewables is just to the northeast corner. To the north is a decommissioned landfill parcel, and then to the south is properties owned by the Bennetts and the Bennetts family's residence. There's a couple other landowners just to the east as well. And then we have a lot of industrial projects and parcels. So we have our ComEd substation and many the ComEd transmission lines that are flowing through. We have the Bright Farms LLC industrial development, the permitted 223-acre data center to the south on Eldemain. And then I think just after us, the rezoning for a data center. So lots of industrial uses in this area, you know, very compatible with solar, also landfill, and our existing landowner who's interested. Again, properties located in IDNR floodway, not a lot's available in an IDNR floodway, but solar is an option. The majority of the view shed is going to be blocked by the Bennetts' residence and their existing landscaping, their existing barn. And then lastly, at its current stance, Corneille's Road is not a major thoroughfare. It's a just kind of a single lane collector. There is the opportunity for that to become more, but given the amount that we've kind of done on the design, we think this is a really good use for this property and a property that might not have another development opportunity. Next slide. So getting into the community benefits, Beecher Road Solar unlocks tax revenue in a floodway. It also unlocks tax revenue next to a decommissioned landfill parcel, which is typically not the most desirable for new developments. It unlocks tax revenue without adding a demand for public services. Again, in the last slide, we kind of showed the different industrial projects that are happening and that Yorkville's really excited about. This is another opportunity for grid stabilization. Community solar is a temporary use of farmland, and the project will add utility savings for around 650 residential subscribers. So you can see below the projected taxes. So the top line calls out the current taxes for the 20.8 acre that the community solar farm would be located on. In aggregate, it's around $6,227. 60% of that goes to the school district and 6% to Kendall Fire. So that's around $3,742 to the school district and around $417 to Kendall Fire. So by adding community solar, you're increasing the tax revenue in this parcel on this 20.8 acre piece by over four times that. You know, bringing in $29,470 in aggregate, but then of course, very importantly, $17,711 for your schools. So this is a list of some of the due diligence that we've done so far. We're pretty far along on this project. So we have the site selection and the executed lease with the landlord, the Bennetts. We've done surveying. We've done the pre-application discussions with Yorkville. We've done utility studies with ComEd. We've done SHPO consultations, endangered species, wetland delineations, consulted with the FAA. We've done the NRI. We've done executed an AMA agreement with the Department of Agriculture. And then we're still in progress on the IDNR floodway and our drain tile surveying, but those will be wrapped up shortly. So I'm going to hand it off to Michael Keith, our civil engineer of record.
Good evening. I'm Mike Keith with Atwell LLC. As Hannah mentioned, I'm the civil engineer of record. So I'm just going to go over some of the site plan items for the site. First up on the screen is the site layout. As Hannah mentioned, we are required to meet 50 feet off the property lines and 1,000 feet off Cornelius Road. We meet all the setbacks except for the 1,000 feet off Cornelius, and we're at 917 feet off there. We did do a redesign where we were at 483, so we kind of moved some of the panels that were closer up to the road back up to the northeast corner across the Rob Roy Drainage District Creek. You'll notice that we put the equipment pads in the center of the site. We try to keep those in the center of the site so they're farthest away from all the property lines, so that the equipment is internal to the site. And then the power lines go underground and come out to the utility poles. To get to the site on the northeast corner, we're utilizing the same access point as we're doing for the Cornelius Solar that is north of there. So we're only going to have one road crossing. With Cornelius Solar, we've already started working with the Rob Roy Drainage District to get their approvals for the crossing. There's actually an existing crossing in the field that we're using. We're just going to improve it a little bit, extend the sewer so we can get the trucks across there, the existing culvert. So we're extending the culvert from both directions so we can get the trucks back and forth. We are working with them to go underground with the wires. We're kind of in negotiations with them on how deep it needs to be. It's going to be within a steel conduit or a heavy ductile iron, PVC pipe. Probably most likely the schedule 80 so that it gives some resistance if they have to dredge it. But that's still ongoing. We're working with them. We plan to do everything that they're asking on that one. And then, as I mentioned, we are dedicated to keep all the wires underground until we get to the road where we have to come vertical to make our point of interconnect. We will have a second row of overhead poles at the access road. We're going to have the Cornelius Solar and then the Beecher Solar right running parallel to them. So unfortunately, that's one of the requirements we have to have with ComEd. We can't have one set of poles and equipment on there. We have to have two separate set of poles. As Hannah mentioned, there is a floodplain on the site. We are working with IDNR. We've already completed the study. We're making a submittal to IDNR shortly. We've actually already have approval on the Cornelius Solar. Both reports, the piles do not increase the storm, the storm elevations. They add some in, but it's not to the point that it's beyond what's allowed in the floodplain. So we're fully confident IDNR is going to sign off on that, and we'll need that before we go to final engineering because EEI will require that as part of our submittal process. And then, next slide, please. So here's a kind of a blow up of our landscaping plan. First off, we're going to be using the pollinator mix. The pollinators help stabilize the site, and they also create a deep rooted system. It helps us with stormwater management, so you'll notice we're not adding any, we do not have any detention ponds here, and that's because of the pollinators help decrease the runoff from the site. They create a deep root system, so it kind of pulls the water in, and we keep the water on site, so we actually decrease our water without the use of detention ponds and concentrating the water at those ponds. And then you will notice we have some trees along the southern edge. If you can see it, there's a different row of trees that are kind of heading back southeast on the site. You'll see that's only really one row, and we have larger evergreen trees on there. We've gone the extra mile on the southern edge, where we almost doubled the amount of evergreen trees along one row, and then we provided a double row to kind of offset them a little bit. So now we've heard the complaints about being close to Cornelius and the concerns of the traffic and everyone seeing it. So we wanted to make sure we buffered it precisely with evergreen trees so that it provides a good soft buffer. And if you go to the next sheet, we've done some photo simulations on here. All right, so that's a blow up of the landscape, and that's a little better view, so you can kind of see the double row of the increased trees in there. If you go to the next slide, please. So this is a view shed of from Cornelius Road looking back through the site. This picture was taken recently, so you can see the farm field in the front. If you go to the next view, the next slide, you'll see we've overlaid the evergreen trees in the buffer, so you can almost see the solar panels really aren't even seen. We typically plan this at maturity of the trees. We typically plan the trees take about 8 to 10 years to hit full maturity. So I mean, there's going to be a time when it's first planted, you're going to kind of see through there, but as it matures, it's going to kind of hide them. Next slide, please. So this is the view looking through the Bennett's farm to back to where the panels will be in the next view shot. Next slide, I'm sorry. So then now you can see the evergreen trees in the background as they're providing the buffer. So you can kind of see we're being really careful to make sure we buffer those trees as people are driving down the street. And then the last slide, please. So this is what a pollinator seed mix looks like. I always like looking at this. You can see it's kind of native flowers and creates a good area for pollinators to come in, bees and such. And you can see that the height of these are managed by the species that are planted. They don't go up above the panels. They kind of stay below the panels, and then they kind of just grow to that height. Based on the management plans I've seen in the other projects, after 5 years, this is low maintenance. We're not out there mowing every week. We don't have to mow very often. After the first 5 years, when it's established, there is some mowing going on and making sure the weeds are kept at bay, but after we hit this point, pretty much self-maintains itself. And as Hannah mentioned, we're here for questions. If you have anything, just let us know.
Thank you. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor or opposition of this request tonight? Have you signed in already? All right, please.
My name's Joe MacArthur, and we have the farm south of Rubberway Creek. I'd have to go back to one of your slides that shows the land.
I don't have it.
Because my concern is our property is south of this. I have a racetrack that parallels, and we've been there since 1985. I have thoroughbred racehorses out there, and my concern is twofold. One is if I am going along the track at a race pace, which will be 35 miles an hour, and I get a glare off of one of those panels, hits the horse in the eye, the horse could go down and die, and I break my neck and I die. My concern is, what kind of barrier am I going to have along the property on the north side of Rob White Creek, where the solar farm is going to be, where I am not going to get a glare?
Okay.
So I don't want to see it. The second thing is, that would have to go all the way along the property line. The second thing is that I have a house that sits to the west of our property, and it's a three-story house. I'm going to be looking right into that solar field, or what, not even the solar field. It's going to be the machine or whatever. What kind of barrier am I going to get up now, not in 40 years, now, so I don't have to look at it? because this will just, looking at it, would devalue my property horribly. So the company's going to have to put up some type of fence, some type of barrier. If they want to put their trees, which would be great, but until they hit maturity, I don't want to see them. But my biggest concern is along our property line, which there's a lot of, is that I don't need a glare because I'm in the horse business. Number one, you'd put me out of business. Number two, you're going to injure the animal, which could be a $1 million animal. And third of all, I could die. And right now, I don't have that problem because there's crops, nobody's there. I might see them once in a blue moon when they're planting or when they're harvesting. I can deal with that. But with trucks going back and forth and back and forth, I have a two-year-old out there. They die. Who do the owner want to know? Who do we sue? Plus, I think it's just being a good neighbor. Put up a berm. Put up a fence. Put something up so we don't have to look at it. And then plant your trees, and if they grow in 40 years, Godspeed. So that's my real concern.
Thank you. Would you guys like to respond to that? Yeah, she's finishing. As soon as she's done. Thank you.
Thank you for your question and your concern. A couple of things. So your concern is about glare, glare coming to your property, and just concern of overall well-being because of the array being there. So that's what I'm going to address. So per Yorkville, we're required to put slats in the fencing, so the array will be shielded that way. We also have designed the project. So that it's an anti-glare system. You know, we don't want glare on anyone's property. We don't want it on your property. We don't want it on the neighboring properties surrounding. We don't want it on our landowner's property. So it's specifically designed with that in mind. I hope I addressed your question.
She asked about a barrier.
A barrier.
Yeah, more on the landscaping, I believe, was her question.
So for that, we're proposing the evergreen tree barrier. Let me get my notes. So around the total of the array, we have 154 evergreen trees planted. This is two lines of plantings, as well as 384 shrubs. So we have that to shield the view shed, as well as the slats in the fencing to block the view of the panels. And then we designed the panels to be anti-glare.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate what you're trying to do with the slack. My concern is just even that you can see the big triangular property, that's me. You can see the track. Is when you have slats, I don't know how tall they are, but I need, and if there's trucks going back and forth and back and forth, somehow to even buffer that. You know, I would appreciate like 10 foot, horses are tall, and to get that out because if we have trucks going back and forth or whatever, that's I know you have to have that. I realize that. I'm a realist. But if there's some way to shield the noise, to abate the noise, that's fine. You know, soul feels fine. But I have to have something to protect me, protect my establishment and my animals. And then you can see how far that goes all the way around to the property. And some days I go left on the track, some days I go right. So you can't just get it to one thing, and I would hate to break my neck. because we will be out there with young horses constantly, have been since 85, and we'll continue to do so. Do you understand where I'm talking, coming from?
Thank you.
I guess I can add that they're required to have all of the panels within a fenced area, and the fence is 8 feet tall, correct? And it will be lifted a little bit because of the floodplain or floodway, is that correct?
No, the slats.
The slats will be lifted, okay. So it'll be an 8 foot tall fence with slats plus the trees, so.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition or in favor of this request? All right. I'm assuming you guys would like to have your responses of the standards put into record?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right. Moving on. The next is PZC 2025-01 DMYF Loftus. Drew Daniels on behalf of Daniels Malinsky Yorkville Family LLLP, petitioner owner, has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting rezoning classification. The real property consists of two parcels, totaling approximately 53.7 acres, and is generally located at the north of Faxon Road, east of Beecher Road, and south of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. The petitioner is requesting rezoning approval from A1 Agricultural District to M2 General Manufacturing District for future data center. Is the petitioner present and prepared to make the presentation of the request? We can't hear you, Mr. Daniels. Sorry.
Yeah, is that working?
That's yeah. It.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Gotcha. Okay, my name is Drew Daniels. I represent DMYF, which is the Daniels Malinsky Yorkville Family LLLP. I reside at 405 East Sheridan Road, Lake Bluff, Illinois, and we are here for the rezoning of this property for the M2. I just finished the 268 acres along Route 34, and this is for the same exact use. And I'm open for any questions.
Does anyone have any questions for the petitioner? Is anyone here opposed to this?
I'm a neighbor.
Would you like to come over?
We'll want speak? Him to swear as well.
I think, did he not? Okay. Sir, I'm going to have you swear in real quick. I state your name.
Robert Loftus.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Testimony at this hearing.
Is the truth.
Is the truth.
The whole truth.
Whole truth.
And nothing but the truth. Very good, sir.
We sold the property to Drew, and I didn't touch base with Drew. Just the last, I've been real busy. there's a couple. I'm not in opposition, I've been visiting with the city about this. Our home was brought in by mistake, as far as the annexation goes. The other property was okay, but our house was not supposed to be in there. And Christy and Mrs. Orr, I think, may be talking and discussing that issue. We lived there. We built the home, been there since 03, and I graduated Yorkville High School, and we plan on staying. We got 8 acres left there. Maybe want a pony someday for grandchildren. Who's mistake it was, I don't know. about the deed, but the annexation of our home, but we didn't mind the rest of the property, like, and we're not in opposition of this, of what Drew wants to do. Drew is a fine guy. We really like him a lot. Other than that, there's a couple issues. I did not talk with Drew, but I should have got with him, but I didn't. We're not in opposition, I say, but with a large manufacturing zoning like that, there's going to be a lot of dirt to be moved. And we would just request that we like a berm with our burritos around our property. And that's the only thing we'd ask. Drew didn't know I was going to ask for it, but I meant to get with him. But my family's out of the country right now, and I've been busy with other things. Otherwise, we're not in opposition. We think he's got a good project going. But there's just a couple items that we. Just a couple of those items that we discussed. Maybe Christy and I can get it ironed out, I'm sure.
Thank you.
If there's any. Otherwise, it should be a good project.
Very good. I appreciate it. Sorry, anyone else who would like to speak in favor or opposition to this? Okay. Seeing as there are none, would the petitioner like to have your responses to the standards entered into the public record? Yeah. Yes, he nodded. Okay. All right, that will be the conclusion of tonight's public hearing. Since all testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote.
Yes. Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
And Green?
Yes.
All right, the public hearing of tonight's the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. Unfinished business. Seeing that there are no items under unfinished business, we'll move on to new business. Staff, could you please present your memo summary on PZC 2024-22, Beecher Road LLC request for special use and variance for a solar farm?
Yes. So the petitioner went over most of the items. However, as they mentioned, they amended their plans to their submitted revised plans that now show a 917.3-foot setback compared to the 482. And with this new plan, the solar farm will now approximately be 2,600 feet from Illinois Route 47. And instead of the 23.6 acres, they brought it down to 20.3 acres, as well as the number of solar arrays from 11,616 to 11,201. As I mentioned, they went through most. The proposed solar farm is an expansion of the recently approved Cornelius Road solar project from last year. The maximum lot coverage for a solar farm is 80%. The solar farm will occupy 29% of the overall 70 acres. There was some confusion regarding whether the solar farm would exceed the primary agricultural use, and to clarify, staff requested that the petitioner verify the total acreage occupied by both the approved solar farm and the proposed solar farm. And as it sits now, the combined approved and proposed solar farm will occupy 54.9% of the 94 acres. And each individual parcel associated with both solar farm project maintains a lower occupancy percentage for the solar farm, with a greater portion still remaining as agriculture. I know that Blair was also brought up today, so in our unified development ordinance, it states that panels shall be placed such that the concentrated solar radiation or glare shall not be directed onto nearby properties or roadways. And the panels shall also face east and rotate west to follow the path of the sun to collect the most sunlight throughout the day. The petitioner submitted a glare study and analysis that concluded that there was no potential for glare identified by the analysis, and the petitioner's exhibit from today's presentation with the view sheds are also provided. The petitioner is also proposing an 8-foot tall galvanized chain link fence. And lastly, staff recommends a security guarantee in an amount of 120% of the approved removal cost, and the estimate will need to be revised every 3 years. The guarantee must also be in a form acceptable to the city engineer and will be a condition of the special use. We also recommend a blanket easement over the property that the petitioner is also aware of, and staff recommends that the work items listed in the review letters from EBI also become conditions of a special use and requirement for the insurance of a building permit. Previously, staff did communicate to the petitioner that we were not in favor of this proposal due to the 482-foot setback. With the petitioner's revised plans increasing the setback from Cornelius Road to 917.3 feet, staff is now supportive of the proposed solar farm, and we also see their commitment to raising the slats above the base flood elevation to address concerns about potential obstruction of the flood water flow in the floodway / floodplain. And then they have also increased the distance from the closest array / module to the nearest residential parcel to the south along Cornelius Road from 119.2 feet to 392.8 feet. A presentation of the project will be held at the April 8th City Council, and the final vote is scheduled for the April 22nd City Council meeting. And then there were some concerns at EDC regarding the proposed chain link fencing with slats could potentially be causing any flood related issues given its location in the floodway / floodplain. So the city's engineer consultant recommended that the slats in the chain link fence only be used on a portion of the fence above the base flood elevation to prevent obstruction in the HEC rest model. And the petitioner's engineer confirmed that they will raise the slats. And we recommend that these also be conditions of the special use. And then, of course, there's also concerns over the exact percentage of agricultural use. Again, that will be 54, or the solar projects will be 54.9%. And each individual parcel associated with both solar farms are less than 80% maximum lot coverage. There's a photo of the occupancy exhibit in here as well. And although this site is designated for estate / conservation residential, this was held as a holding classification. And although the solar farm is not consistent with the future land use designation in the 2016 comprehensive plan, the solar farm is an expansion of the recently approved Cornelius Road Solar, so staff is preparing an amendment to the comprehensive plan to designate the property as agricultural zone.
Pretty good.
But that's it.
Thank you. Do any of the members have any questions? Nothing? All right. Could you please read the standards for each of the requested action items and the petitioner's response for discussion and concurrence to adopt such finding as fact?
Yeah, I'll start with the special use. Please state how the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The proposed solar array will be an enhancement to the United City of Yorkville in that it will provide a source of solar collection through the solar array being constructed by Beecher World Solar LLC. Which will hook directly to the ComEd grid. It dovetails perfectly with the federal government's green energy plans and the Build Back America program, and is environmentally friendly. The parcel contains no toxic materials, and the landscaping under them will be an environmentally friendly grass. Applicant further intends to introduce other environmentally friendly development methods on the site, There is no harm to surrounding property owners, no detrimental effect to public health, safety, or morals. The encouragement of using solar energy in lieu of fossil fuels is an excellent alternative source of green energy.
Commissioners, we agree with this? I think so. Sorry, we agree.
Please state how the special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within the neighborhood. The proposed solar array will be constructed in a manner that will cause no damage to surrounding property owners.
Commissioners, you agree or disagree? Everyone agrees? We agree.
Please state how the establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improve an improvement of surrounding property for uses permitted in the district. The intended construction and operation of the solar array in no way detrimentally affects the operation and development of surrounding real property, nor does it impede the use of existing property.
Commissioners, do we agree? Everyone agree? We agree.
Please state how adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, and other necessary facilities have been or are being improved. The project is suitably located in that there is readily available connection and sources to ComEd, to the ComEd electrical grid. There is great access for repair and maintenance off of Illinois Route 47. Third, there is an access road planned under the previous city planned unit development accessing the property off of Galena. It is an excellent site for this use and one that is a transitional use to surrounding zoning classifications in a complementary fashion.
You guys agree? We agree.
Please state how adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress or egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. There will be a minimum amount of traffic in and out during the construction phase of the solar array. There will be virtually no traffic in and out on a daily basis once the system is operational. The only traffic in and once the system is operational will be regular maintenance checks and maintenance of the underlying site itself.
Commissioner, do you agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Lastly, please state how the special use shall in other respects conform to the applicable regulations of the district in which it is located, except as such regulations may in each instance be modified by the City Council pursuant to the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The special use complies with all United City of Yorkville requirements for solar arrays, as well as state requirements for the use of such facilities, and all materials are in compliance with federal and state laws.
Commissioners, you agree?
Yes.
We agree. Okay.
Variance.
We got a
moment.
Yeah,
oh,
we got a.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. We'll move on to that. May I have a motion to approve the findings of fact to approve the petition for PZC 2024-22 Beecher Road Solar LLC?
So moved.
This will be for the special use?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Is he reading?
You want me to read it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on March 12, 2025, and discussion of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for special use authorization to construct a freestanding solar energy system or solar farm, as depicted in plans prepared by Atwell and submitted by NextAmp, dated last revised 2/14/25, for approximately 20.3 acres located immediately north of Cornelius Road, approximately 1,500 feet west of Beecher Road, and approximately 2,600 feet east of Illinois Route 47, Northbridge Street, subject to staff recommendations and a memo dated February 21st, 2025.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hyatt?
Yes.
And Crouch?
Yes.
All right, the motion is approved. Moving on to the variance now.
Please state the variance requested in this city ordinance, including the section numbers to be varied. Section 10-4-3-B-8 of the United City of Yorkville Ordinance. Petitioner requests a variance from a 1,000-foot setback from the right-of-way to a 482-foot setback. However, they've now amended their plans to 917.3 feet.
Commissioners, do you guys have any concerns? We agree.
I would have had an issue with the 400.
Yeah, way better than 400. We agree.
Please state how the particular surrounding shape or topographical conditions of the specific property involved the particular hardship to the owner would result, as distinguished from mere inconvenience if the strict letter of regulations was carried out. The original zoning application on the subject parcel was designed both as site plan and engineering submitted to the city and its outside consultant engineering enterprises for review under the then existing ordinance. The entire stormwater plan and site had been engineered in conformity with the previously existing ordinance. To modify that plan now would substantially change the location of the proposed stormwater facilities, the solar array, and cause great expense and hardship to the applicant that was not caused by any modifications of the applicant or failure to comply to the ordinances that were in existence at the time of building.
That was a mouthful. Commissioners, do we agree? Could you read that again? Sorry.
Okay. Please state how the conditions upon which the application for a variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought and are not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. We believe that the circumstances stated above are unique to this applicant because, to our knowledge, it is the only applicant that applied at the time that totally engineered and created a site plan which has been previously approved by city staff, outside consulting engineer, and some city aldermen.
Commissioners, we agree.
Can I get some verbal agreements, please? Just some yeses. Oh, throw them out there. Thank you.
Please state how the alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. See statement above about compliance with prior ordinance.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
Better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please state how the granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare, interest to other property, or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. The proposed variance request to the south, north, and west setback lines by 8 feet. By 50 feet cause no harm to any existing adjacent owners in that there is no current development on any of the adjacent real property in any of those three directions. There is substantial buffering and a fence that will be installed by the applicant within the setback boundaries that ameliorates any concern to adjoining property. There is no detrimental effect to public health, safety, or welfare.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Lastly, please state how the proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in public streets or increase the danger to the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. There is nothing in regard to granting the variance that will impair adequate supply of light or air to adjacent properties or increase any traffic whatsoever. The variance requested in no way will impact public safety or diminish or impair adjoining property values. The adjoining properties being zoned R2 due to the cancellation of the Westbury Planned Unit Development Agreement. There's currently no plans in front of the city that would indicate what zoning class the owners of those adjoining properties will seek if and when they seek to develop. They very well may not be developed with the residential use whatsoever given surrounding property conditions and uses.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
That's all.
Very good, thank you. It was quite a bit. May I have a motion to approve the findings of facts for the variance for PZC 2024-22 Beecher Road Solar LLC?
So moved. In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on March 12th, 2025, and discussion of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council for a request for bulk regulation variance to Section 10-4-13.B.8.B of the Unified Development Ordinance, reducing the south property line setback from 1,000 feet to 917.3 feet.
May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
And Linane?
Yes.
All right, the motion is approved. Staff, would you like to present your memo summary on PZC 2025-01 DMYF Loftus request for rezoning?
Sure. As Drew mentioned, that he is representing the Daniels Malinsky Yorkville Family LLP. They consist of owners that are seeking to rezone parcels, which we have indicated up here. There are two parcels that are approximately 53.7 acres, and then this also includes portions of other parcels that make up this area. This request does exclude, as Mr. Loftus mentioned, his 8-acre existing homestead, and the petitioner is seeking to rezone the properties, which are now zoned A1 agriculture, to M2 general manufacturing district for the development of a future data center. If we can go to the next image in the packet, a little bit of history. So Mr. Loftus's parcel to the north that he owned is leased now for development of a solar farm. So this was the newly solar farm that came into the city. It was approved, so it was annexed, and it was zoned A1 agriculture. The annexation document, the plat, inadvertently included Mr. Loftus's parcel south of the railroad tracks. So we are working with Mr. Loftus as part of this agreement to try to carve out his parcel. We don't know what form that will take, or that de-annexation. We're still working with that on the legal side. And so we will be handling that when and if this comes in and is approved. But right now, all of the parcels are zoned A1 ag, and only the area that Drew's organization is proposing for a data center will be zoned M1. That 8-acre parcel of Mr. Loftus will remain ag until such time it is de-annexed.
Understood.
New Leaf is actually under construction now, so if you drive by there, you'll see some pilings. The petitioner initially had proposed to rezone the entire 41 acres, which included Mr. Loftus' parcel. That's why the title is DMY Loftus. It does not include his parcel. Just wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
And there's, if you scroll down a little bit, there is the actual Alta survey that carves out that 8-acre parcel. So that will not be rezoned. With the M2 rezoning request, the intent of this district is to ensure compatibility between these industrial land uses that can land there and nearby residential or commercial areas, and emphasizing minimizing the impacts that these uses would have on noise, traffic, and visual disturbances. So with that in mind, staff looked at surrounding land uses in the area at the time of this application. So north, we have Osiris One, we've got New Leaf, we've got transportation land use of the railroad. To the east, we have open farmland that is intended for Whispering Meadows Unit 3, which has not been final platted yet. To the south, you have, again, another transportation land use, the Faxon Road. You've got Mr. Loftus's parcel, which is residential. You also have the Kilaka development, which was rezoned for a data center to M2. And you also have the Hammond Kilaka parcel, which was just approved last night for zoning for manufacturing for a data center. And then to the west, you have farmland, which is A1 in Kendall County, as well as farmland, which has been rezoned for Kalaka.
Okay.
So approved for a data center. So it's really surrounded by intense manufacturing, either zoning or land uses.
Okay.
So if approved, the Loftus Homestead would be the only area in there still ag. We can go to, there's a table in there, actually an image at the very end, it's an attachment that shows the DMY Loftus. Parcel. Okay, so when we looked at how this zoning would impact surrounding land uses, we came up with a few conditions. So one of the rezoning conditions is that staff is recommending is that there's a buffer and setback transition zone. So due to the adjacency of the subject properties to a future planned phase of Unit 3 of Whispering Meadows, you can see faintly there is the outline of the preliminary plat for it. There's a large area that would be adjacent to this parcel that is going to be used for stormwater management. So we felt confident in that the development could meet a 100-foot setback buffer, and we also requested a berm. Now, in our memo, we requested the berm along the eastern boundary of the parcel, which is would be abutting Whispering Meadows. But due to Mr. Loftus's request, we may also ask it in between the parcel and Loftus's parcel as well. So that is just added to staff's condition. We also, with other data center developments, are requesting site plan review. Regardless of the zoning and it being a permitted use, it would have to come back to City Council for approval. We are also seeking that no buildings will be located in that 400-foot buffer to the nearest home of the existing residential subdivision. So you see this buffer here, that 400-foot buffer, no buildings will be located in that area. We are encouraging that that area can be for stormwater management, park, surface parking, any other like walking trails, things of that nature for that area. And then the last item of discussion that we had with Mr. Daniels was a maximum height. So originally staff had recommended a maximum 60-foot height restriction for buildings within 1,500 feet of residential structures in subdivisions. Last night when the Hammond-Kilaka piece was approved, the City Council landed on a 70-foot maximum overall building height, and that was inclusive of any rooftop mechanical or HVAC equipment.
That's a big building.
We are recommending that that standard also be applied to this project. We have not discussed that with Mr. Daniels, and we kind of want his input before we make that as a condition. So, Drew, do you have any input on that?
Give us a second. We can't hear you. My apologies.
Drew, can you try it now? Do echo there, see what happens. Try it again, Drew.
No.
Yep,
we got you.
We got you.
That work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it worked.
Okay. My question was the 70 feet including mechanicals?
Yes, it included mechanicals.
Okay. Well, I'll state it just one last time. I know I've discussed this with the city, is I will not be the final developer on this. Obviously, there's going to be a data center end user on this. you know, everyone does things a little bit differently. I know that some of the specs out there can be a little bit taller than 70 feet with the mechanicals on the roof. And the only thing I can kind of hang my hat on is that the city does get the final say when they do come with their PUD plan before the council. So I guess I just ask that, I don't want to affect the marketability of the site, stating if somebody's saying, well, no, we need a 72-foot height, but I'll always be able to say that it's something that you guys could go and do a variance if you guys are going to stick with the 70-foot. So if I have to agree to it, I would say okay, but I would just like to repeat that the city is getting the final say.
Thank you.
And just a few final points. The comprehensive plan did identify this parcel as a state conservation and a Metra station transit-oriented development site. As we know, in 2022, Metra and the city in 2020, they did a study and indicated that the approved location for a station would probably be at the Illinois 47 location across from Wrigley. So this future land use would not even be applicable now. So with the trend of development in the area for future data centers, we are confident that if this is rezoned to manufacturing, that the city would then instantly go for an amendment to the comprehensive plan to this being general industrial and consistent with the other areas. I know the petitioner was requested to reach out to some of the property owners in the area. I believe he has. No one has voiced any opinions about this project to staff, so we're confident that that was done. And we have the responses to the rezoning requests.
Okay.
If you'd like me to read those into the record, I can do so.
We will. Do any of the Planning and Zoning Commission members have any questions?
Nope.
I've got one. Could you pull up the picture with the lot and the buffer?
Okay.
I have a question on that. Okay, this 400-foot buffer, mm-hmm. That's not in their property.
That would be the distance, right. We're just showing what that 400-foot buffer would look like, so no buildings in that area could occur. So it is outside of their area, but they would not. If there's a building there, they couldn't have it located along the property line.
Sure,
okay. Or near that property line.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I personally see that as shifting the responsibility onto other owners myself. That's 400 feet into Whispering Meadows if they did that. That would be my one concern with the property.
So what we were trying to illustrate, mostly it's this development here, that if there was a 400-foot buffer, there are no homes in this area.
Okay.
And so they would be fine with not having a building in this area because they would be 400 feet.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that their property wasn't hamstringing the next person to come in.
No, it would have no effect on any other parcel, but say this was combined with another development to the south.
Okay.
These are the buffers that
okay. Yeah, just as long as this doesn't affect Whispering Meadows if they decided to shift something around and get into okay. That was my only question.
If I'm wrong, Christy, but once the data center's there, if one does come to that lot, if somebody chooses to come in and build within 400 feet after the fact, they can do that.
They can do that, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
But as it exists now, if there was an existing residential lot,
okay,
got
they
it.
Would
They're
have
perfect.
Yeah. Then.
Okay.
Okay.
You both answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.
Awesome. Okay, that's all I have. Do you guys have anything?
No,
yes.
That makes sense.
I just have a question. Where does the 400 feet
property line.
Where does that come from? Like, why?
So, with the other project that we talked about last time, Hammond Kilaka, where there was a lot of residential lots adjacent to their boundary, they wanted to ensure that they wouldn't have a data center at that property line because the M2 only says a 25-foot setback from a property line. So they didn't want to have a potentially 70-foot tall building adjacent to their lot line.
And I believe the closest building at last month was 425 or 450. Okay.
Correct. That's so we're trying to maintain consistency with these projects so one doesn't have an advantage over another if they were to come in. But we also are looking at general standards for the data center land use that'll probably be forthcoming.
So I guess my follow-up question, if we see something similar in the future, will 400 foot be applied again?
If you see another application?
Yeah, something similar to this.
Sure, so what you probably will be seeing in the future is an actual land plan, and then that's when a lot of these regulations that we're doing, these speculative lots, will come into play where you'll see that 400 foot buffer where actual building, you know, could be located where we're recommending it not be located.
Okay. So. All right. Sorry to open that can.
Oh, sure. Just, no.
Very good. Would you, anyone else have any questions?
I do real quick.
Yes, please.
You made a comment about something about 1,500 feet.
Yes, the maximum building height.
It is.
So staff originally, with the conversation that came out of the Hammond-Kilaka parcel, we were trying to offset buildings that would be close to residential homes by making those buildings have a maximum height. In the M2 district, there is no maximum height. So we're saying if the building is within 1,500 feet of an existing...
It can't be taller than 70.
Correct. And then anywhere else, it can...
Mm-hmm. I get this is all on the fly, but yeah. It seems like they're starting. We're getting a little baseline here that we can work with, so thank you for that. Anyone else? Staff, would you like to read the standards for each of the requested action items and the petitioner's responses for discussion and concurrence to adapt his findings of our own?
Sure. Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. If I'm out of order, I'm out of order. There's no buffer on ours?
So, Drew requested that the buffer of 400 feet be to an existing residential subdivision, as we've done with the other. So, for this particular lot, it just has a single residential, it does not have that 400-foot buffer. Is that something you're requesting it have? Because you'll have the berm. You'll have the 100-foot buffer. We're extending that 100-foot buffer along your area. It'll be a 100-foot landscape buffer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
Nope. Good. I had to ask.
I'm glad for clarification.
Thank you.
Out of the standards?
Yes. So, first standard, please state the existing zoning classification and the uses of the property within the general area of the proposed rezoned property. The existing zoning is agriculture in the United City of Yorkville, and the current uses of the property within the general area is farming.
We agree? Commissioners, you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we agree.
Please state the trend of development, if any, in the general area of the property in question, including changes, if any, which have taken place since the day the property in question was placed in its present zoning classification. Surrounding properties, as we discussed, are being rezoned or being considered for rezoning to M2 zoning.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree?
Please state the extent to which property values are diminished by the particular zoning restrictions. Petitioner's response, none to our knowledge.
Commissioners agree?
Yes.
We agree?
Please state the extent to which destruction of property values of petitioner promotes the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of the public. The petitioner's response is none.
Commissioners agree?
Yes.
We agree?
Please state the length of time the property has been vacant as zoned, considered in the context of the land development in the area in the vicinity of the subject property. The subject property has been farmed for decades. That is the petitioner's response.
Yes.
We agree?
Yeah.
Please state the community deed for the proposed land use. surrounding area is being developed as industrial slash data center uses, and the potential utility and real estate taxes to the city and the community are important.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
With respect to the subject property, please state the care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development. The use is consistent with what is being proposed and approved in the general area.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Please state the impact that such reclassification will have upon traffic and traffic conditions and on said routes. The effect, if any, such reclassification and or annexation would have upon existing accesses to said routes, and the impact of additional accesses as requested by the petitioner upon traffic and traffic conditions and flow on said routes. Other than the construction traffic when the final development is built, very little to no change in traffic impact. Data centers typically are very low traffic impact.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Okay. Please state the relative gain to the public as compared to the hardship imposed upon the individual property owner. With no known hardship, the development would envision substantial construction jobs as well as long-term jobs, all while also providing the city and its residents with potentially considerable utility slash property taxes.
We agree?
Yes.
Yes.
We agree.
And finally, please state the suitability of the subject property for the zone purposes. The use is consistent with what is being proposed and approved in the general area.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
We agree. That's it. Last one?
Yes.
All right. May I have a motion to approve the findings of facts to approve petition for PZC 2025-01 DMYF Loftus?
So moved. Second.
We also have to amend it to include Mr. Loftus's parcel as having the 100-foot landscape buffer with 8-foot berm.
Subject to...
Well, that's part addition of the landscaping. Of the
okay, so we want to do subject to including Mr. Loftus's parcel. A 100-foot landscape
buffer with an 8-foot tall berm.
All right, and you've already made the agreement it's going to be our arboretas. I think.
Did you
get that? I don't know if I can include that one.
Did you have all the?
I got it.
Okay, I have it too. So. Thank you. Please.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on March 12, 2025, and discussion of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of, to the City Council, a request for rezoning from A1 Agricultural District to M2 General Manufacturing District for a proposed future data center for two parcels totaling approximately 53.7 acres, including parcel 02184000006 and portions of parcel 02-19-200-001 and 02-17-300-002, excluding an approximately 8-acre existing homestead owned by the Robert M. and Ildefonsa Loftus Living Trust, generally located north of Faxon Road, east of Beecher Road, and south of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. Further subject to including Mr. Loftus's parcel, a 100-foot landscape buffer with an 8-foot tall berm.
All right. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
All right. The motion is approved. On to additional business. Is there any additional business the city would like to update us on?
Yes, there is. Sarah, can you pull it up? It's our 2024 year in review. All right, here's our 2024 year in review for the city. It's a consideration of our entire departments of Christy, our intern, Drea, myself.
I need to share it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
for 2024 year in review, this is for Community Development Department. This is created with myself, it's Christy, Sarah, and our intern, Drea. I'm just going to give a quick review of the last year. It's pretty quick, but I thought I'd just highlight a few things. So this is a story map. It's linked in the packet. It's also available online for public viewing under the City of York Hills website, departments, and then GIS mapping on webpage, if you guys are curious. So just a quick rundown. Scroll down, Sarah. Going to housing growth. In 2024, there were 255 new housing starts, 206 single family, and 48 multifamily. This is actually a 38% decrease from the previous year of 415. Over the last 12 years, there's been 2,500 new dwelling units in the city. From the subdivisions, four subdivisions represented 58% of the new residential construction. First one being Grand Reserve at 80%, 80 permits issued. Via Bristol Bay at 40 permits issued. Timber Ridge Estates at 16, and then Caledonia at 14. Alright, so for permit activity, we had 1,462 permits issued in 2024. This is a 35% decrease from the previous year of 2,271. This was a storm year, so we had a record number of roofing and siding permits issued in 2023. Overall construction value of 2024 was approximately $149 million. City permit fees in 2024 totaled $3.2 million. And next would be the planning and zoning projects. In 2024, there was actually 30 projects for planning and zoning. In 2023, there's 29. These mostly were highlighted by solar farms, which Cornelius Road Solar, which was mentioned tonight, which is north of the Beecher one. Data centers, Cyrus One was the first one with a full plan approved and looking to break ground in 2025. And there was also various annexations and zoning of property for potential future data center projects, including Kalaka and Hagman. All this information along, if you click on these links, you can see a little things about the location maps and or plan sets if you're curious for more. Lastly, we wanted to highlight Grand Reserve. There were five final plats approved in 2024. Units 10 and 11, which is east of Kennedy, south of the BNSF Railway, has 312 townhomes scheduled. Unit 18 and Unit 25 is north of BNSF Railway and east of Tuscany Trail, has 164 townhomes. And Unit 21, which is just north of Mill Road, has 60 residential duplexes approved. So we should see that coming in the near future. Other planning updates for 2024 included some text amendments for solar farm locations, land cash donations, and petition review procedures. We just wanted to highlight in the next section the new and expanding businesses. You can scroll through this a little bit. So there's Iboba, there's Joelville Cafe, Station One's Smokehouse, and Bright Farms are the four big ones we highlighted, but there's also more as well as you continue to scroll through this story map. Fifth, we wanted to highlight our IGA collaboration with Kendall County. This marks the 10th year of cooperation between the agencies. We have certain agreements, which include building inspection services, and we also, last year, hopped on the GIS services agreement. Below is a map of the city's property information. It's interactive if you zoom in and stuff like that. You can also find more maps on the GIS and planning webpage. Lastly, there's new additions, and looking ahead to 2025.
Pictures aren't showing up.
So this just highlights that Sarah joined our team in January of 2024 as Planner 1. And then she, just a quick background on her, she has an urban studies and planning bachelor's degree from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And then myself, David Hansen, I'm the senior planner. I joined in late 2024. I have a background in geography, local government management, and GIS from NIU. I previously worked as an analyst and a planner at the Village of North Aurora. In closing, the city anticipates several exciting developments in 2025, including residential buildouts, groundbreaking of our first data center, hopefully, and other large retail developments. The city is also looking to monitor future data center activity and its potential impacts on the community, and that's all I got.
Thank you. Very good. Anything else you guys would like to update us on?
Nope.
Very good. Seeing as there's nothing further on tonight's agenda, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Meeting adjourned at 8:29.